You're in the mix with Bartkop Radio.
Couple letters about Jane Fonda. One is positive, one is not. Welcome home, Jane. I first met Jane Fonda when we appeared together on a TV talk show in L.A. in 1970. I was an overly decorated Vietnam vet who supported our commitment to the Republic of Vietnam, and she was Jane Fonda. I saw Jane on 60 Minutes, and I will read her book. I think she knows she made a big mistake going to Hanoi, and I do not fault her for opposing the war. If I ever meet her again, I will shake her hand, kiss her on the cheek, and say, "Welcome home." This is signed by a different Tom Hayden, retired U.S. Marine Corps. Now we got us the other guy. I'm a Vietnam veteran. I still endure some pain caused by Jane Fonda's trip to North Vietnam. He lied. I don't think this fella can make the case that he still endures pain caused by Jane Fonda's trip. I'll bet he can't make that case if we gave him a year. What a rich, overprivileged, spoiled brat, Jane, you are. Quoted as saying, "You hope the veterans know you weren't against the soldiers. I don't remember any apology from you." Well, yeah, I do. She's apologized about 1,000 fucking times, but nothing's good enough for the people who need an excuse to attack Jane Fonda. Do you know that all of those who fought for this country to protect your freedom deserve positive recognition? Yeah, dude, that's what you're fighting for right now. Her freedom to express an opinion. That's what you're fighting for right now. Jane, do you have any clue what communism is? Dude, I'll just bet you and her, if you had a debate, I'll bet she'd mop the floor with you, but that's just a guess. It's never too late to apologize, he says, apparently refusing to accept the hundreds of apologies she's given so far. But like I say, some of these people, they can't get out of bed without hating Jane Fonda. That's what gives them their get up and go. I hope you use some of the royalties from your book to help those veterans who are still physically and mentally enduring the pain Vietnam caused them. Yeah, Jane Fonda sent them to Vietnam. Yeah, Jane Fonda is the one that hurt them mentally and physically. Way to go, dude. This is written by Vito Romanowskas. You know, I would give you 10 to 1 odds, and those are monster odds in any kind of gamble, that this monkey voted for George Bush knowing that he was an AWOL cocaine-doing deserter when it came time to go to... Jane Fonda went to Vietnam and George Bush didn't. Look at it that way. But these monkeys that will walk over broken glass barefoot 1,000 miles for the illegal deserter AWOL cocaine monkey, and they hate anybody else who wanted to stop the war. To me, it's clear as a fucking bell. People like Bill Clinton demonstrated to stop the war, to stop the killing. People like Bush, they just did a nose full of cocaine and said, "That ain't my war." And then 30 years later, he steals the White House and all these men in uniform salute him. You know, I got to tell you, I am struggling with my respect for the military. I am struggling. Yesterday was today. I don't know what today is, but yesterday I watched Bush address a bunch of soldiers at some fort, maybe Fort Hood in Texas. And every time Bush said, "We've put democracy on the march," and all these soldiers went, "Hoo-ah," or some bullshit. Fort Hood lost, I don't know, 100 and something men in Iraq in the last 2 years. And that's okay. That just kills me. That's okay with them. I'll bet everybody at that camp knows somebody who lost an eye or a leg or their personality or their sense of humor or their ability to speak. They lost something in Iraq this year, and they love that cocaine monkey for sending them over there for a goddamn lie. But anybody who was against the war is the troublemaker. This monkey blames Jane Fonda for the men who were hurt in Vietnam. You can't get any more asinine than that. You just can't. More on Jane Fonda next. Jane Fonda has been all over the news lately. And of course, she's taking a beating from at least the middle and the right, which is probably 2/3 of America or more. it seems like it's so easy to make a case for Jane Fonda, and nobody will do it, and I'm not her biggest fan, but it just seems like if she would just put a couple of words together, she would come off a whole lot better than she, I mean, she can't come off any worse, and I would really like to lock horns with a veteran who just hates her, because I think the hatred is manufactured. I think Jane Fonda became a symbol of everybody in the country who didn't like Vietnam, and it all came down on her, and that's certainly not fair. What she did was wrong, yeah, but did Jane Fonda load up two plane loads full of Stinger missiles that pull airplanes out of the sky and drive them to North Vietnam the way Ollie North did in 1980? No, she didn't do that. Her crime was smiling with the enemy. Her crime was posing with the enemy. And somehow, every man in America who's ever put on a uniform, she's become the poster child for anybody who doesn't want to kill. And that's, I think, like a lot of things, is just stupid and it's inexcusable. If I could find a veteran who would be willing to debate me on this, I'd like to ask him a couple of questions, such as, why do you focus all your hatred on, quote, Hanoi Jane? She didn't like the war. Clinton didn't like the war. Of course, yeah, they had to impeach Clinton for being friend to the black man and peacenik. Gee, is there anything worse in the United States than being a peacenik? If you're not, here I am playing the dove, but, you know, if you're not pro-war, you're just like someone who should be shit on and thrown away. That's a little odd in America that if you have an opinion other than kill the son of a bitch, you're a bad American, and that makes me wonder. But I don't think anybody could make the case that Jane Fonda hurt America more than Ollie North did, but because Ollie North is a Republican and the Republicans own the press, Jane Fonda has to come out to be the bad guy here. And as I said, Jane Fonda didn't bring two loads of weapons to the enemy. All she did was go up there like an idiot and smile and wave. It would be so easy to do. She's been all over the place. She was on CNN with one of the whores, probably Paula Zahn. I saw her with 60 Minutes, somebody, I don't know. But you know what would be so easy to say? And why can't Jane Fonda, why doesn't she know somebody at least as smart as old Bart? It's just amazing that all the millions she's got and all the thousands of friends, she probably personally knows 50 publicists, and nobody can come up with a couple of sentences for her to say, well, I got a sentence or two for Jane Fonda. One of them is when they say, what the hell were you doing in North Vietnam? Now, I don't know if it's true or not. Like most things, I don't know a lot about Jane Fonda. I don't know a whole lot about even the Vietnam War. I don't know if we were there to stop the North from coming down or if we were helping the South go North. I don't know a whole lot about it. But it seems like it would be very easy for Jane Fonda to say, I went to North Vietnam to put a human face on the enemy. Because America has lost, what, 55, 58,000 boys? And what did they die for? So we could kill the slant-eyed gooks. Now, how important is it for a regular American in their daily life to be sure we kill all of the slant-eyed gooks? And why couldn't Jane Fonda say that that was her goal, to go to North Vietnam and by her presence there would cause some cameras to go off. And perhaps if Americans saw Jane Fonda speaking, can we just for one second, assume that the motivations of the North Vietnamese in their minds was as valid as the motivation of the South Vietnamese in their minds? I know in war, the object is to kill the other guy, but you know, the North Vietnamese, the Chinese, the Chi Coms that we killed, I assume they were human beings. I assume they had parents and kids and brothers and sisters and wives and husbands. And the prevailing attitude during the 70s and 60s was, we have to kill as many of the dirty, slant-eyed gooks as we can. We just have to murder them all. The only good gook is a dead gook. The only good slant is a dead slant, and we have to murder them all. And if Jane Fonda had an idea different than we have to murder all the slants and gooks, do we really have to crucify her for that? And like I say, I think she handled it wrong, but did she go to North Vietnam so more Americans would die? Was that her goal? Was her goal to kill more GIs? Or do you think her goal maybe was to show the insanity? Jesus Christ, we keep getting down to one basic thing. If the war in Vietnam was good, then people like Clinton and Jane Fonda and eventually the majority of America who decided there's no point to being in this war, had it not been for those people, maybe we'd have double. Maybe we'd have 116,000 names on the Vietnam War Memorial. Then would the conservatives be happy? Or what if there was three times? What if there was 174,000 names on the Vietnam War Memorial Wall? Would the conservatives be happy then? How many tens of thousands of names on the Vietnam Memorial Wall would it take to make the pro-war people happy? Would it take 250,000 dead young men to make the pro-war people happy? How many? Could someone give me a number? See, this is what I would ask the Vietnam vet. And I'm not picking on the Vietnam vet. I'm picking on someone who lives and breathes Jane Fonda hatred. That's who I want to talk to. Because if you hate people who hurt America, then let's put Ollie North at the front of the line, and Bush, and Reagan, and the whole crew, the crew that's currently running America, this Negroponte, and Poindexter, and all these people who are helping Bush behind the scenes, some of the people he had the balls to send up for nomination, some of them he just, like Poindexter, he just appointed them without anyone's permission to be in charge of everyone's security, everyone's privacy in America. And these are the guys that already got caught once. They got caught being treasonous to America. When you bring two plane loads, well, you go to consortiumnews.com if you want to get the whole story. Bush Sr., he made a secret deal with the terrorists to hold those people longer. Please, Mr. Terror, would you hold those Americans longer so Reagan can get elected? And then the minute Reagan got elected, someone put a bullet in him. Was that part of the Bush plan, too? Maybe they figured out it would be better to have Reagan as president, but it's a little suspicious that they lied and cheated and stole to get Reagan in office, and then Reagan caught a couple of bullets the minute he took the oath. And as long as we're on the subject, let me plant another thought in your mind. Neil Bush, the monkey's brother, was due to have lunch or dinner with Hank Lee's family. I believe it was that night or the next day. Now, maybe that's a coincidence. Maybe all that is just a coincidence. But think, if Neil Bush was close enough to the Hank Lee family, and maybe they were just business associates, who knows, but Neil Bush, this is confirmed, was to have dinner with either Hank Lee's parents or Hank Lee's brother, something. And so if you just think about it, it would be pretty easy to get the information to the unhinged boy that Reagan was going to be at this certain hotel at 4 o'clock tomorrow, that son of a bitch Reagan who did X and Y. I mean, if you got an unstable person in the room, it's probably not going to be too hard to manipulate that unstable person. So what connection did the Bush family have to the person who shot Reagan? That's for people who are able to investigate, not some fella penniless in Oklahoma. That's a little suspicious, but of all the people who have hurt this country in the last 25 or 30 years, to go after Jane Fonda as number one, that is appalling. Because Jane Fonda, as I said, she's guilty of smiling, she's guilty of cavorting, she's guilty of posing. And when you stack that up against loading two plane loads of Stinger missiles that pull airplanes out of the sky, that's what we gave to the terrorists. Now, how in the world can that stack up against anything that Jane Fonda did? The truth is, it can't. And if Jane Fonda knew anybody in America that was as smart as old Bart with his tequila-soaked IQ of 64, she might be able to redeem her image in this country. And I know there are Vietnam vets who would commit suicide before they would say Jane Fonda is not the Antichrist. And to me, that's their problem. Jane Fonda didn't cause all their problems. That's who they focused on because they're lying to themselves. They refuse to focus on the problem, so they focused on a substitute problem. And I'm saying, why not stop lying to yourselves? Why not focus on the real problem instead of the substitute problem? The same thing we got today. You ask people what's wrong with America, and they'll say Michael Moore. They won't say the idiot crazy man who lied us into a war that we never had to get into in the first place and killed 1,550 soldiers so far, and we don't know how many years or decades we're going to be stuck in Afghanistan and Iraq. But we're stuck with this war. Bush was afraid or unable. He was unable to testify about what he knew about 9/11 unless he is under oath, off the record, and with Cheney sitting there. That is so goddamn impeachable, I can't believe it. But no, we don't impeach people for going to sleep at best during the worst attack America's ever had. At best, they went to sleep. At worst, they knew an attack was coming and thought, hey, this might be a good chance to grab hold of some power, and we can disarm our critics, and we can do a lot of things with the Constitution that we couldn't do without bin Laden's help. Maybe they knew a little bit something was coming, and they thought, well, let's ride this wave and see where it goes. And gee, look where it went. $100 million a day they're making just off the oil, just in Iraq. $100 million, well, I'm sorry, with oil at $53 or $55, $56, it's maybe $110, $112 million every fucking day that the Bush family is stealing from someone. But we don't focus on that. We don't focus on the lies that brought us into war and killed those men. No, we got to pick out Jane Fonda and fuck her around. Because Jane Fonda cavorted and smiled. Now, how does that compare with what happened in New York? How does that compare with the 1,500 families that got a knock on the door? How does that compare with the tens of thousands of military families who got a broken shell of a man instead of the vibrant young man that went off to war? No, all that is Jane Fonda's fault. It's the peacenecks who ruined America, not the people who lied us into war, not the people who allowed 9/11 to happen. Randy Rhodes has it right. We live in this bizarre world where up is down and black is white. And the people who cause the problems and make a profit off of it, they are the heroes. And the people who wanted to stop the wars, they are the villains. What the fuck is wrong with this country?
Night sweats, they go on, then off, then on. Hot flashes, then something else comes off.
If menopausal symptoms are disrupting your life, Premarin is approved to treat symptoms and prevent bone loss.
You know, I'm not sure why every condition known to mankind has to be put on the television and displayed for the kids and grandma and the cousins and the preacher and the neighbors and anyone else in the world who might happen to be over watching a little TV with the family on some Sunday evening. What the hell's wrong with this country? We got to sit there and watch these commercials for four-hour erections. And then a little six-year-old looks at you and says, what's an erection? Or grandma, you know, I don't know what grandma does, but last night, we're watching some show, and there's a man and a girl. Well, I'm sorry, there's two adults in a boat. It looked like kind of a romantic setting. They weren't fish or anything. It looked like he rowed her. He rowed her, R-O-W-E-D, out to the center of the lake, and he's starting to explain something to her. And she says, hey, dude, there's a big leak in the canoe here. And he looks down, and there's like a half-inch round hole spewing water up like a little geyser. So the guy's panicking. He looks around for what the hell can we do. Meanwhile, the girl whips out a tampon and in the ensuing moments explains and demonstrates and shows you how a tampon is inserted and et cetera, et cetera. I mean, can a fella not watch TV without learning how to put a tampon in his uterus? You know me, I'm not the old fuddy-duddy. I'm not Mr. Prude. It's just, you know, and if we're watching the Lifetime Network, the Oxygen Network, you know, one of those Women in Jeopardy movies with Victoria Prince or something, yeah, maybe we can talk about it. But we're a family show. You ought to be able to watch something without tampons and four-hour erections and all these other, geez, some of the things they come on with, you know, these herpes commercials and that. And it's just, I know I sound like Andy Rooney. I guess everybody sounds like Andy Rooney when they get to be my age. But it just seems like, if nothing, they could have a little blue button beep one time or something in the lower right-hand corner of your TV. Let you know there's some, you know, some big vagina's about to get thrown in your face. Hello, excuse me.
If you don't have symptoms, consider non-estrogen treatment instead of an estrogen like Premarin to prevent bone loss. Premarin should not be used to prevent and may increase the risk of heart disease, heart attack, stroke, or dementia, and may increase the risk of breast cancer and blood clots.
So let me get this straight. If I have the hot flashes and I have a uterus, I'd rather take this drug and risk heart disease, a heart attack, a stroke, dementia, breast cancer, and blood clots? I think I'd rather have the hot flashes. Good thing I don't have a uterus. Don't have to make that decision.
So use it for the shortest time based on goals and risks. If you have a uterus, estrogen increases the risk of uterine cancer.
Oh, now we hear a little more. So besides the heart disease, the heart attack, the stroke, the dementia, the breast cancer, the blood clots, now we're going to get the uterine cancer too. Jeez. Thanks for making the drug. Oh, another thing. How many thousands of dollars did you give to that woman's doctor for him to recommend your drug that's probably really expensive that causes the heart disease, the heart attack, the stroke, the dementia, the breast cancer, the blood clots, and the uterine cancer? How much did you pay the doctor to tell this woman that she needs this drug?
I'm soaked. I'm dry.
I'm cold.
I'm hot.
I'm not. My doctor prescribed Premarin.
Premarin is not right for every woman. Discuss its use regularly with your doctor. Don't use Premarin if you've had unusual vaginal bleeding, breast or uterine cancer, blood clots, liver problems, stroke or heart attack, or think you're pregnant.
You know, I'm so old, I remember when a fella could watch old television and not get dizzy from all these conditions being thrown at him. Geez, the mental pictures that pop in your head about the unusual vaginal discharges. Excuse me, I'm trying to watch old TV. Some of us are trying to eat while we're watching TV. And you're coming at us with the unusual vaginal discharges. Please!
Side effects may include vaginal yeast infections, leg and abdominal cramps. With 5 dosage strengths of Premarin, your doctor can choose the lowest effective dose for you. Isn't it time you asked about Premarin?
I'm so ready.
Yeah, me too. After hearing about this, I want to try some and I'm a guy. You know, I don't know how I know this. I feel a little bit like the scarecrow explaining an isosceles triangle. But do you know where Premarin comes from? I got a little clue. Now, you men's, you might want to sit down or hide your ears or something, but it's called Premarin. And what that is, it's the urine from a pregnant mare. It's a prey, that's the pregnant, mare is from the horse, and in, I guess, is their cute way of, you know, nothing sells better than when you put urine in the title. So this Premarin is, it's made out of the urine from a pregnant horse. No wonder it's giving you the unusual vaginal discharges. Christ, you got horse urine in you. I suppose maybe a bunch of drugs come from unusual places, but who was the guy that thought up, you know, I wonder where we could get a good drug. Yeah, I know. Let's find a horse. Let's find a pregnant horse. Let's have the pregnant horse pee in a cup, and we'll make the medicine out of that stuff. And we'll market it on TV, and I bet these fool women will buy it. And then we'll make the men sit through the commercials for it. Oh, I need a drink. You can't stand nobody like you. You can't run, you can't hide. got a thing I want to read you. This is from the Oklahoma Observer. This is a small, you might have guessed, Oklahoma newspaper, to which I was given a subscription by my good friend Eddie the Pillar. And one of the articles in this issue was Oklahoma House Votes for Bigotry by a gay fella, Keith Smith, wrote this. I am a gay man who turned 50 this month, and for my present I listened to... I am a gay man who turned 50 this month, and for my present I listened to the Republican-controlled Oklahoma House debate and pass the most heinous preemptive attack on my rights imaginable. For those of you who are in the know, they passed a Colorado-style Amendment 2, which forbids any county or city government in Oklahoma from passing legislation or policy that protects me from discrimination in employment and, in effect, mandates that discrimination happen. Imagine the feeling of having your very essence so attacked and imagine the feeling of having your very essence so attacked and persecuted by your own government. Imagine for a moment that legislation just passed your state house that prevents any other government entity in your state from ever supporting your dreams of equality and fairness and your inalienable rights as an American citizen. Worse yet, it is supported by people you work with every day in the legislative session. Worse yet, God knows I could get through a paragraph without reading it more than once. Worse yet, it is supported by people you work with every day in a legislative session. Many of them are your friends. Imagine that the majority of your House of Representatives voted to legislate away your justice, any hope you may have had that perhaps your city or county might at some time have decided you deserve protection from unfair job discrimination and literally walled you up in a world where you had no access to the American dream. You may be surprised to hear me say that it was a pretty good birthday present. For the first time in my 50 years, I heard Oklahoma legislators discuss my future, my struggle, my reality, my life. I heard great courage for the first time from the floor of the Oklahoma House, and I was so moved, I wept. There were tears of joy and happiness. All of a sudden, it wasn't the brave handful of women and radical and religious minorities who defended my rights to equality. These were straight, rural, white men from Oklahoma. Through my tears of joy, I realized a corner had been turned. Never again would there be a 97-3 vote relegating me to second-class status. History was indeed made. We lost 65-28 with 8 excused. 28 legislators for the first time voted for me, for my life, for my future. Imagine. In all my elation, I also understand that some of these courageous people may very well pay a price for their votes. Some of them may get a taste of the hatred and intolerance I have experienced for 50 years. I feel no comfort in that painful reality, and I will pray that they are protected. But I can't deny what I do feel is great excitement about my people's struggle. Equality is on the march, he says, sounding like Bush, and it will not be stopped by the hatred and intolerance of the past. Dr. Martin Luther King said our freedom was not won a century ago, it is not won today, but some small part of it is in our hands tonight. We are marching no longer by ones and twos, but in legions of thousands, convinced how it cannot be denied by any human force. It may not be time to break out the champagne, but it might be time to put it in the refrigerator. Wow.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights.
Got Bart. Now you do.
Get up,
Bart
stand
Cop
up.
Radio.
Don't give up the fight. Preacher, man, don't tell